The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Hey, welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 5th, a Monday of 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the NCBA, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, has initiated a policy calling for the end of an ethanol tax break, and it opposes any renewable fuel standards legislation that calls for an increase in ethanol made from grain. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll help you sidle up to the farm gate. It's a University of Illinois Extension blog. Hey, and don't forget that at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Monday afternoon. Futures at the board finished like this. The March wheat at 458.5 top, and their settlement price, rather, they were down 2.75 for the day. The May futures at 472.5 were down 3.25. March corn on a Monday unchanged at $4.02 a bushel. The May futures at 414.5 down 0.25. In July, 421 down 0.25. September futures 405.5 down 2, and December contract for next year at $3.95 down 2.25. March soybean futures $7.40 up 3.25 for the day. The May futures at 756.5 up 4, and July at 769.5 up 4. November's at 793 up 3.25. March bean meal futures at 212.40, that's down 30 cents. The March bean oil for the day finished 25 lower at $30.62. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle on the afternoon, $97.20, up $1.57.5. The Febs at $91.65 were up 60, and the April live cattle at $95.32.5 were 85 cents higher. February lean hogs at $64.67.5, down 67.5 cents. Outside markets for the day, March crude oil, $58.65, down 37. The CRB at 301.18, that's off 0.15, and the dollar at 85.07, it's up 0.09. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,670, up just about 17 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I read some things on the wire service that surprised me a little when I took a look at the numbers this afternoon, simply because the wire service said some of the bullish enthusiasm had really begun to wane. But, of course, if you look at the numbers, you still have a $4 March corn futures for the afternoon, unchanged on the day at 4:02. So what do we know about the marketplace today?
Well, the market did a fair job of hanging in there. You're correct. It's stay above $4 encourage. I think last week's lows there around that 96 area is probably a key area to stay above. But, you know, corn did a good job shaking off somewhat negative news. Of course, the pro farmer estimate of an additional 12 million acres of corn is concerning. Export shipments were less than desirable. We shipped out 32 million bushels of corn. The trade was looking for 36 to 40. Then even the USDA saying that cattle producers, that government's going to work hard to encourage other ways of making ethanol to give them relief from high corn prices. Longer term, that's a little bit of a concern. Soil moistures, we're seeing some adequate recharging of some moisture reserves in some areas. Then lastly, too, we're starting to see the funds, so-called, exit the marketplace. Index funds are estimated to be long over 350,000 contracts, and that's down over 50,000 contracts. What they've accumulated before, and when you look at the momentum indicators are starting to roll over, then two, if we keep sort of seeping here for say, we could even challenge the longer-term moving averages, Todd.
So what does that all tell you about this marketplace right through the end of March, which is probably the most expected USDA report coming up, the planning intentions report?
You bet. That's going to be the big one there. The pro-farmer estimates on corn, an additional 12 million acres of corn and 9.5 million acres less than beans. Those are probably the extremes, but I wouldn't be surprised because when we're out doing meetings across the Midwest here in Illinois and Indiana, we're finding that 75% of the producers raise their hands as far as adding to their corn acreage, and that's anywhere from an additional 10 to 25%. But it spells consolidation. I don't know if the corn market's going to go anywhere until we see what those numbers are there into March. It's going to take some other outside news to shift the corn off this consolidation pattern, which could be price of crude oil. If crude oil would move on up to the $70 barrel, that could probably give reason to maybe challenge the highs. If crude oil would pull back down to $50 a barrel, it could say, well, maybe we'll test those lows and make some new lows on this move.
Okay, so you suggest consolidation. Usually that means a trough of some sort. What's the high is up at what for you on the trough? And then what do you think the low for a consolidation trough might be right through March?
Well, on the lead contract, yep. Giving you plenty of time, this 417 area was a 50% retracement back up. We got as high as 420. So that's probably going to be a benchmark to go for here. Over time, if you can take that out, those quickly talk 450, 467. 467 on the lead contract fills the chart gap we left from the option expiration of July 96 contract to the September 96 contract. So that would be, on the extreme side. As far as the downside goes, March corn, the lead contract is vulnerable. If we can't hold this 390, six area or so, we could quickly drop to maybe 370, 375.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bottom line is, those are benchmarks to go by, but if you're a technician, you probably need to watch those longer-term moving averages more than anything, and those are going to start shifting here a little bit more day-to-day.
And right now, what are we running up against? I'm looking maybe, I got to take a look. The 20-day is not too terribly far away, is it?
Right. You start running into those, you'll start seeing the short-term guys maybe start to stutter a little bit. That would offer some selling interest on rallies in here.
How about on the soybean side?
Well, beans are finally getting the line spot here as far as taking over leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They're overdue here. Beans, I think, will probably continue to hold together here. It's probably going to be tough, though, to take out $7.50 in the lead contract and $8 in the new crop November here, unless we find somebody showing a 10 million or 12 million acre drop in bean acres or see energy levels go quite a bit higher to help pull beans with it. Bean oil, along with the beans, is going to be the one to watch here as we go through 2007. But the South American weather has turned a little bit more favorable. Argentina received anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch rain. They've got some more rain on the way. We'll start to see some early harvest activity here fairly quickly as far as getting more and more credible yields as we get into end of the month and through here. Their main bulk of harvest will be late March, when they get into the meat and potatoes of it. Their harvest and plantings is 6 months opposite of us, so we'll see how that unfolds. Shipments were pretty good. We shipped out 35 million bushels of beans. Trade was only looking for about 24 to 30, so bean sales and shipments remain somewhat strong. But the beans, as I started out with, taking leadership is probably going to be the speculative interest. If you go clear back way when, beans have always been a speculative interest. We lost that once the outside markets took off. Then as the funds entered the grain complex, they went to the wheat first. They went to the corn, and that's where they're at. But I think they're going to start shifting to the beans and bean oil. It's, when you look at who owns this, the speculative crowd, they at happy hour, they talk about owning corn. that happy hour talk's moving to bean oil and beans themselves now.
That'll be interesting to watch. We're, what, 4.5 cents off $8 in the noves and just a penny off in the, what, Januarys, I think, for next year. $7.99 was the top there today. $8 in the offing for beans very soon, you think? Well, can it run into that this week yet?
I think we can challenge that. I don't know if we're going to go above it, but I don't think beans are going to stop at 8.
Yeah.
I think, finally the bean bulls come alive in here, and I think beans are going sharply higher from here. When you look at the shift in acreage and what can go wrong, and you look at who's got coverage and who doesn't, I think the beans are going to be the dynamic crop to watch in through here. I wouldn't be surprised to see beans test their all-time highs later on this growing season. You know, we run into some weather or some rust fears as we get more into the heart of the growing season.
Now, given that note, I understand probably where you are on the beans, but what are you saying at this point about new crop corn sales?
New crop corn sales, you know, that's interesting because you've got some wide opinions out there, but mm-hmm. We believe as a producer, not as a trader, as a producer, your risk is to the downside. Corn could drop a dollar, and if you raise 170 bushel acre, that's $170 to the acre risk you have. If you raise 1,000 acres of corn, which a lot of you do, your risk is $170,000. So as a producer, we feel of all years, you've got the most downside risk you've ever seen in your life in the corn complex. And so therefore, we feel that you need to do some type of marketing, whether some type of cash selling, or hedging, or whatever. But we feel the basic thing to do is have a put option. Put a floor under you and leave your upside open. So if corn does rally to $6-7, you can turn around and sell your cash corn up there. But if this thing does roll over, doesn't go anywhere, you've got that downside protected somewhat. Whereas beans, we feel it's the opposite. We feel beans is probably not so much downside risk versus the corn.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. Just a couple of notes on that end of that conversation. 1,000 acres of corn would be a lot of acres of corn for those who are not farmers and listening to the broadcast. That would be more than twice what most farmers in the state of Illinois average, and the $170,000, of course, would be a gross income and not subtracting off all of the input cost, and that would substantially, and I mean substantially, reduce that income. So I wanted to make that clear for those who are listening that don't have a good grasp on what the economics of agriculture looks like across the board. We do appreciate everybody who listens right through the program all afternoon. If you'd like to learn more or listen to some of the program again, you can always do that at WILLAG.org. That's our website. You can download the MP3 files and sign up for a podcast or a newsletter right there at willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Our own Mike Sola says across the two-state region tonight, in eastern Indiana, it will be clear elsewhere, increasing cloudiness and continued very cold. Lows will range from around 10 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 15 in far southern Illinois. Speaking of that, wind chill advisories are in effect for portions of northern Illinois and Indiana tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, cold, some snow showers and snow, heaviest snows in central sections, with snow, some areas receiving as much as 6 inches of accumulated snow. Highs tomorrow will range from a very warm, not really 6, in northern Illinois to near 40 in the far southern part of the state of Illinois. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, this past weekend, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association voted on its first ever renewable fuels policy. NCBA called for an end of a 51-cent ethanol blender's tax credit in 2010 and the sunset of a 54-cent import tariff on ethanol in 2009. NCBA also says it opposes any increase in the renewable fuels standard that calls for additional grain-based ethanol. Meanwhile, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says that consideration is being given to allow early withdrawal of Conservation Reserve program acres to plant corn.
We continuously study this issue of CRP acres and whether there would be an early out, and we'll continue to do that. We pay attention to the corn supplies. We'll continue to look in the weeks and months ahead at this issue. We haven't done anything differently yet. But we continue to study the issue and continue to study supplies.
Johanns promoted USDA's Farm Bill proposal Friday in Nashville. Johanns says beyond payment limits, much of the plan is being well received in the countryside.
You know, it's been great. We've been out west in California. I was in the Midwest in Iowa and Minnesota, and it's been very, very good. Now, having said that, of course, there are pieces where somebody will look at it and say, you know, I don't like that. Payment limitations in the South almost never get a warm reception. It's just the reality of it. But having said that, we've kind of changed the paradigm on what we're proposing, you know. This affects 2.3% of really the top echelon of Americans who file a tax return. So I think this is a sensible way of approaching it. But all in all, it's been very positive reception.
Washington Insider is reporting the Bush administration proposal to ban direct payments to farmers with adjusted gross incomes over $200,000 likely won't be approved by Congress. Meanwhile, specialty growers are opposing a USDA proposal that would allow planting of fruits, vegetables, and nut trees on land that receives government subsidies. The Farm Bill proposal could allow corn and soybean producers to diversify. Specialty growers say that if acreage devoted to specialty crops increases by 1%, prices will fall 4%. The USDA proposal may be an attempt to make subsidies more WTO compliant. In its successful case against U.S. cotton subsidies, Brazil argued that the U.S. cotton program was price distorting because cotton farmers could not shift to fruits and vegetables when cotton prices were low. And the National Cotton Council's annual survey suggests producers will plant 13.21 million acres of cotton in 2007, a 13.6% decline from 2006. And NCC senior economist Stephen Slinsky says the potential is there for producers to switch even more cotton acres to corn and soybeans. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can pick up MP3 files, podcasts, and even our weekend newsletter as a subscription. It's all at willag.org. Well, up next, Stu Ellis is a farm blogger. Don't know what that is? I'll tell you more in a story about a place on the internet called the Farmgate.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You surf the net looking for all kinds of things you're interested in. You read volumes of material, look at loads of pages, and it takes way too much time. Now, you'd like to find one place to learn all about what the land-grant institutions in the Corn Belt have been doing. And if all was right in the world, you could sound off about the issues and the research. Congratulations, there's such a place. It's called the Farmgate.
The Farmgate is a blog for agriculture that provides some two-way traffic, information going to individuals and allowing them to respond with some concepts and ideas and verbal retaliation if they don't really happen to agree with what's being said.
That was University of Illinois Extension Stu Ellis. He's a blogger. You can think of him as the MC of the Farmgate.
What I will do is to search through websites, dozens of them, throughout land-grant universities in the upper Midwest, looking for topics that are going to be of interest to people who produce corn, beans, wheat, hogs, cattle, whether it be production-type issues, whether it's farm economic, farm management-type issues. Those types of things are what I'm looking for. And maybe some specialist has done a real in-depth study about something, but it may take 2 or 3 days to read. Well, what I will do is to condense and synthesize that into a short Reader's Digest version for someone who just doesn't have that much time.
As the bloggers, Stu Ellis will pick those topics, but you can write back. It's easy to do. Just fill in the blanks at the end of the article you'd like to discuss and click on the post button. You'll be blogging too. The FarmGate blog can be found on the web at www.farmgate.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Joining us now on this Monday afternoon, as they always do, to take a look at the cash grain market are the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Greg Johnson on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the corn market and the soybean market at this point from the cash grain side. And as I noted earlier, the wires were saying things were, they didn't say they were starting to crumble, but that this looked to them like that things were not as bullish as they have been in the past. What are you seeing?
Well, we've been up, I'd like to look, 17 out of the last 21 weeks. And when we have a week of sideways markets, which we had last week and may have again this week,
mm-hmm.
traders and farmers kind of say, what's going on? I mean, they view the fact that it's going sideways as negative. I wouldn't say it's crumbling. I think we're hanging in here around $4
you bet.
On the board. So the fact that we're not going up by leaps and bounds every week like we were back in October, November, December, and January probably, you know, makes some people scratch their heads and wondering if we're not nearing a top. But I think we're just waiting for more information. It's February. There's not a lot of new news to talk about. We're waiting for that March 30th planning intentions report. We get a little bit of insight from the Outlook conference here at the end of the month. But until we get some new information to trade off of, I think corn is feeling like we've run it up to $4 in, you know, trying to buy those extra acres, and now we have to wait and see whether we did buy those acres or not.
What are your bids, by the way, today on corn?
Old crop corn's $3.91.
Mm-hmm.
New crop corn right out of the field is $3.80. So we're about 15 cents under the December futures for new crop corn right out of the field, which is a pretty good basis.
And farmers willing to make sales at this point with you?
Some. I would say, with all the talk of, you know, we're just one bad crop away from $5 or $6 corn, that nobody wants to get too much $4 corn sold. But by the same token, they realize that if we really do plant 10, 11 million extra acres of corn and have a good crop, with the funds as long as they are, if they decide to sell off a little bit of that length, we could be back down to $3. So there's nothing wrong with $4 corn.
And your bids on the soybeans, and I'll bet they're not willing to sell at soybeans.
Exactly, exactly. Cash beans are $7.17. New beans are $7.73. I think if we hit $8, we'll see a few. But again, I think people are going to be rather, you know, reluctant or slow sellers this year.
And round up your cash bids with the wheat, please.
Cash wheat, $4.13 for the old crop and $4.50 for the new crop.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
And that's Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report. It happens each and every Monday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. About 650 students in Logan County got today off after a frozen power line snapped, cutting off electricity to schools in Mount Pulaski. The superintendent says the power went out before buses would have started rolling out to pick up students across the rural district, and he decided not to risk having students endure freezing temperatures only to arrive at a cold school. The bitter wind chills this morning also led some East Central Illinois districts to call off classes today. A new report concludes that the state of children's health in Illinois is only fair. The advocacy group Voices for Illinois Children released its children's health report today. It found that teen births have decreased nearly 11% over the past 5 years. But in the same period, cases of sexually transmitted diseases have increased more than 30%. The report also notes that children who are black are more than twice as likely as white or Latino children to die before their first birthday. Jerry Sturmer is the president of Voices for Illinois Children. He says the report's designed to help educators, doctors, and lawmakers set priorities for improving children's health. A nationwide education group says Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels' proposed college scholarship program is unique because it requires students to repay the money if they leave the state after 3 years. Daniels says his proposal will help keep the brightest Indiana college students from leaving the state. The city of Urbana wants all owners of rental housing to be registered with the city by mid-March. That includes people who rent out rooms in their houses. Last month, the city council enacted a registration ordinance that calls for periodic safety inspections. Urbana's community development director, Libby Tyler, says notices are going out to owners. They have to pay a yearly registration fee. Despite months of protests, the University of Illinois, or Chicago rather, says it will not divest in companies that support the ruling regime in the Darfur region of Sudan. Chicago President Robert Zimmer says the school has a longstanding practice of not taking explicit positions on issues that don't have a direct bearing on the university. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. And on the line with us this afternoon is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, John. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm cold. How about you?
Cold, too.
Are we going to stay that way and for how long?
Yeah, we are. We're going to be very cold through the first half of this week and actually then get some snow coming through here later on tonight and tomorrow. And actually for much of central Illinois, pretty good accumulations down there. And then we have another reinforcing shot of cold kind of coming in the second half of this week. Not to the levels of what we're seeing right now, but there's no question that through this week we remain in a below normal temperature pattern. So, yeah, the cold continues.
Hey, tell me a little bit more about this snow tomorrow, especially for East Central Illinois. Some schools were out the day. My school, the kids were out of school for my kids today, so I was home. I don't want to spend home tomorrow with them, actually, though.
Well, it's a clipper, and so it's a fast-moving system, but with a situation like this, because we are so cold, you get into a situation where you don't need that much moisture to have quite a few inches of snow because the ratio will be very high. In a typical winter storm across the Midwest, your ratio a lot of times tends to be for every 1 inch of precipitation, you get 12 inches of snow. Well, in this situation, it's more going to be in the 16 to 20 inch range. And so, just the fact that we're going to get, 2/10 of an inch or 1/4 inch means that some areas likely will be getting 5, 6, even 7 inches of snow.
No, I suppose if we got 7 inches of snow, I wouldn't mind staying home with them. We'll watch. How much do you think we're going to drop on different portions of the two-state region?
Well, I would say in general, for most areas, the band kind of looks like it's going to be in the range of 3 to 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
7 inches would be kind of on the top, and I'd say for Champaign, probably looking at 5-ish in that range.
Well, that might be enough to keep you out of school, especially if there were much wind with it.
If you need a note, I'll write one for you, Todd.
Nah, are we going to have the wind or not? Is the question.
Some wind, not certainly as windy as it's been over the past couple of days with the Arctic cold moving in, but yeah, there's going to be some with it, sure.
I will get a note from you and see if the principals will take it. We're staying home because we want to. Okay, as you look around the globe, what do you see?
Well, I think one of the issues here over the weekend with the cold that we're seeing here in the Central West is what it did for winter wheat, both in the plains and into the Midwest. And with snow cover over the weekend quite spotty across places like Nebraska and South Dakota, as well as the Midwest, we don't think you had any kind of huge damage over the weekend or any kind of widespread damage, but we do feel that some areas that were unprotected likely will have sustained some damage here from a winter kill perspective over the past 2 or 3 mornings. So the first issue is really a winter wheat issue here in the Central West. Other than that, the other issue, of course, is South America. And in general, the weather continues to be quite good with really no major issues here from a detrimental standpoint as we look toward the middle of Feb.
John, always a good time to talk with you.
Okay, Todd. Take care.
You too. John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. Don't forget, if you want to hear that report again or anything else that you heard most of the day long in the ag programming, the pre-opening, opening market reports, Sue Martin at the noon hour. You can always pick it up off our website. It's at WILLAG.org. Stay warm this afternoon. Keep those pets and livestock well covered. It's cold, and it's going to stay that way for a while across the two-state region. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.